Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You're listening to Phil Colicchio, and I am bringing you The Business of the Business, the program here on Heritage Radio Network that explores the business side of the hospitality industry. And we broadcast live every Wednesday at 5 p.m. from beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn, here in the back room at Roberta's. And if you miss this broadcast, and I don't know too many people who miss this broadcast, but if you do, you can find us archived at www.heritageradionetwork.org. Click the icon Business of the Business, or as a podcast on iTunes. Okay, so let's get down to business. I'm actually pretty excited about this show today and my guest. Today's show is about innovation. Innovation in the hospitality industry, probably the most underrated aspect of the industry, because frankly, you can't be truly innovative unless you've mastered the basics. And in the hospitality industry, the basics are being nice to people. That's the basic component of hospitality. When you think about innovation in the hospitality industry, you often expect to find it in restaurants, and you know, I like to use Momofuku Noodle Bar as an example. Came out of nowhere, changed the way people look at restaurants in New York, and changed the way they looked at hospitality. I think people expect to find it in hotels. If you're a New Yorker and you walk into the Ace Hotel, you will see a completely alternative take on hospitality. And it works. It's not your father's hospitality or your grandfather's hospitality. It's a current day, 2013 type of hospitality. You would never, ever in your life expect to find hospitality innovation in a baseball park. But 20 years ago, and it has been 20 years now, Camden Yards opened in Baltimore. Camden Yards is the home of the Baltimore Orioles. American League baseball team. I happen to like baseball. Happen to pay attention to what goes on in the American League East Division. But 20 years ago, the Baltimore Orioles opened up a stadium that, frankly, was so homey and so comfortable that people began to take true notice of what could be done with large sporting venues. It became hospitable. Even the food changed. It wasn't just hot dogs, and it wasn't just, you know, a half-cold beer in an expensive cup. It was barbecue. It was crab cakes. It was local cuisine brought to the people. Well, that was 20 years ago. But I'll tell you, if you've been paying attention, and if you haven't, I'm going to tell you anyway, that in the past 10 years, huge innovations have come to the hospitality industry through professional sports and professional sports venues. There have been true focus on hospitality, particularly in the premium sections of those stadiums. And by premium, I mean the sections of the stadiums where people pay dearly for the privilege of spending a lot of time watching their favorite sports teams, entertaining their clients, entertaining their friends. Today, I've got a young professional with me who is an innovator, who has actually done things in a relatively short amount of time that I think most people in this profession can only dream about. She has worked to innovate three iconic venues that exist here in the New York area. She helped change Madison Square Garden from a sleepy, no-frills place to a place where you can feel great and comfortable and welcome. She helped the New York Yankees switch from that old, difficult-to-get-to, nobody-smiles ballpark into this beautiful new stadium that provides some of the finest hospitality and some of the finest food in New York City. And once she helped the Yankees get on track, she moved over to the New York Giants in their beautiful new stadium, MetLife Stadium in East Brunswick, to do the same thing. Today I have Beth Accardi, who is the Director of Premium Services for the New York Football Giants. Welcome, Beth.
Thank you, Phil. That was a very nice introduction.
Well, it's a true introduction. I'd love to tell you that I made some of it up, but I didn't. You know, when we walked through, we've known each other for a while, but when we walked through your background a little bit this week, it really occurred to me that you'd really pulled off some pretty amazing coups in a very short amount of time. How did that happen? How did you get into this business? I mean, we want to talk about what premium services really are, but you know, I'm looking at you. You're so good at your job. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. How did you get started in it?
Well, like many of the professionals that are looking to get into sports, I started selling tickets for the Knicks and the Rangers. It was an interesting time since I started in 2004 during the NHL lockout.
Wow.
Yes.
So the last couple of months have been familiar territory for you.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, working off of commission, needless to say that year it was spent eating a lot of ramen noodles.
There you go.
But yeah, I started at the Garden and was able, I worked for, I had an incredible boss there that is still a mentor to this day for me, that really was taught me a lot about the business, and I was able to learn about other departments that I was unaware even existed, one of them being luxury suites and hospitality.
Yeah, you know, I know that you know, I grew up a blue collar guy, so and I like to think I still have a lot of that in me, but I have to say it's pretty great when you get access to some of these wonderful seats at a football game or a baseball game or a hockey game. Were you somebody who grew up with that, or were you somebody who, you know, who stood in line to get the $4 bleacher seats?
Bleacher seats for sure.
Right.
You know, by nowadays it's a little bit different. My father and family definitely they experienced the good life, but back then it was definitely the bleacher seats, mm-hmm. upper decks. So,
well, but I think that has to give somebody an appreciation for the idea. I mean, if you see your first baseball game from a luxury box behind home plate at Yankee Stadium, I think you're kind of cheating yourself. It's a great experience, but if that's your first experience, I think you probably are missing a lot of the sights and sounds and smells. That being said, you started to tell me that you had a mentor who opened your eyes to a lot of things. Who was that?
My first boss at Madison Square Garden, Bobby Gallo.
Bobby Gallo.
Love that I'm giving him a shout out. He's been, you know, throughout my career, really helped me to learn a lot about the business and be a leader. To show me, he's definitely shown me what it means to be a good manager and to be an innovator in the business.
Yeah, critical.
So he's been great, and I've been really fortunate. I've been able to work with some incredible leaders, really respected individuals within the industry, some that I get to closely work with now. And, it, you know, that's what's great for me, because they've really been the ones to guide me, show me exactly what this business is about, coming from a background where it was strictly just, I was a sports fan.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the corporate side of it. Now really having a better understanding of how critical these type of premium seats are to the success of these buildings.
And, you know, you're heading right into my, you know, my wheelhouse, which is the business side of the hospitality industry. And in 2013, I don't think professional sports can exist without that component of truly premium hospitality. So when you first approached it at Madison Square Garden, you know, interesting. It's only a few years ago. Huge differences between now and then, right?
Huge.
Like what? Talk about that. Like what was it? What was a big deal at the Garden 5 years ago that today is routine?
When I was starting out, the luxury suite side of it was fairly new in the sense that they were putting a lot of effort into the retention of these clients, building these clients, you know, into bigger, you know, VIP
upsell.
And exactly,
yeah,
VIP experiences.
Yeah, no different than the waitress who's got premium oysters in that week, and she's gonna upsell a little bit to somebody who wants an oyster.
Right, and yeah. I think at the time, Madison Square Garden was really one of the first venues to really put a focus on that, have a department very specific to those clients,
really?
And to service them solely. A lot of teams at the time really didn't have that, and probably one of the big reasons being that Madison Square Garden is such a huge corporation, successful
right.
business.
Right. So what were the kind of things that when you started to work in the premium side that you began to realize that clients needed and expected? I mean, I'm a believer that hospitality really is about anticipation of needs. And for your clients who are spending a lot of money so that their clients can have a great experience, what is it that they're looking for?
I think, you know, the reason they get into premium seating and these club seats is to have that exclusive experience, mm-hmm. To have a venue for them and a platform for them to create and grow business on their end, which is exciting for someone like me that's servicing them.
Yeah.
Every client's different. Every single client, they're from several different industries, and they host and service their own clients differently.
Right.
So, which makes my job interesting just because it's given me a sense of being able to create different experiences for different clients, more bespoke, unique experiences.
Great phrase, great word. And I think that's a terrific way to move into the question about, so at Madison Square Garden, what did you see what was the most important thing you felt like you had to do for your premium clients there from a hospitality standpoint? What did they need?
I think that, more so than their, you know, everyday needs of, you know, making their box special and unique. It was definitely just giving them a sense of feeling like they were a part of our family.
Right.
And feeling like they could come to us. They were inside, and they had access that no one else had access to.
Right.
And that gave them an opportunity to service their clients better, to sell better.
Right. So if they needed tickets to the circus, right? For their,
oh, the circus.
Right. You know, it wasn't just the Knicks and the Rangers. It's Madison Square Garden and all the nice things that go along with it. The fights, the concerts, the, you know, the circus, the, you know, monster truck pull. You know, all of those things that people are interested in. But, again, as a guy who enjoys live performance, whether it's sports or music or whatever, I can say that there's not a person in the arena, whether it's at Giant Stadium or Yankee Stadium or Madison Square Garden, who doesn't turn and crane their neck to look and see what's going on in those luxury boxes. And you're the person who really makes those things special. I'm intrigued by what you had to do for the New York Yankees. Here was the most iconic of sports franchises who decided to leave their ballpark that they've been in for almost 100 years and create a brand new experience for fans. You were right there. I mean, you were this ground floor. How did that happen?
Well, you know, a lot of networking.
Well, I mean, I'm sure people knew who you were by that point.
Yes, I was fortunate enough just to get to know a lot of the people within the industry. And when the Yankees were building the new stadium, my name had come up, and it was one of those jobs that was
my name did not come up when the Yankees were building their new stadium, Beth. So just the fact that your name came up during that period of time is pretty exciting to me. So please keep going.
But for me, being growing up a humongous Yankees fan, it was really, truly one of those moments where it was a dream come true, having the opportunity to go in there at a time that was brand new, really.
Brand new. I mean, talk about innovation, which is really the theme that we're going for today. It was so new. And frankly, I'm going to challenge you a little bit here. I think it must have been frightening. Because to go from the level of luxury that the old Yankee Stadium represented to the level of luxury that the new Yankee Stadium represented, there was a millennium of difference.
Absolutely.
And a big one in pricing.
Yes.
How did you deal with that? I mean, you had to make some enemies during that period of time.
No way.
Good. That's good hospitality.
No. Well, you know, one of the great things, and especially one of the things I've been most fortunate for, is being able to establish relationships in New York and carry them on throughout each of these opportunities that I've had at the different teams. So I've been really able to establish and grow amazing relationships with some of the biggest companies and some of the highest executives here in New York, which made it a little bit easier, I have to say, going into the Yankees, knowing a lot of those individuals and knowing what to expect from them in terms of what they expected with service, and them knowing what I could provide and how it was at my job.
Well, at some point, you must have had to help the Yankees justify the huge jump in pricing from their premium aspects of old Yankee Stadium to new Yankee Stadium. And I think that that's an important component of the business. I want to hear a little bit about that. What was the strategy there?
You know, for us, it was just creating the best value and creating added value, things that even the people that had built the stadium hadn't thought about.
It's like what? Give me an example.
You know, just creating experiences where we'd take those clients on field pregame for batting practice, or events outside of the stadium, mm-hmm. Just to get to know one another so they can hear what other suite holders are experiencing. And, you know, obviously the initial year coming into a stadium, they're growing pains. And for us to really get some feedback from clients so we can take some of those things and improve upon them.
You know, I like the way you analogized it. It was very much, as you said, you're inviting people into your family. That circle of clients is a small circle, but it's a very important circle. And it sounds like our friends at Madison Square Garden, and our friends at what used to be considered the old cold Yankees, have really taken a new turn, an innovative turn, to maintain a really high level of hospitality. We're going to take a little bit of a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about the Giants and the new Giants Stadium, but I also want to talk to you about, God, how do you measure success in your business? So we're going to come back in a little bit to the business of the business here on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm here with Beth Accardi from the New York Football Giants. We'll see you in a few minutes.
As always, you're listening to Movement and Location by the Punch Brothers on heritageradionetwork.org. Program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Did you know that pollinators are needed for more than two-thirds of the world's crop species? Most of these pollinators are bees. However, North America's bee population has been steadily declining since the 1990s. Whether you live in the country or the city, you can show your commitment by hosting a hive in your backyard or even on a rooftop. The beekeeping movement is growing, so you're sure to find swarms of folks who can help you find your way. Learn more about the ways you can help be the solution at wholefoodsmarket.com/sharethebuzz. But the thrill of
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Business of the Business. Thank you to the inimitable Punch Brothers for the song Movement and Location that they were gracious enough to provide for our theme music for the Business of the Business. Punch Brothers are, well, they're one of my favorite bands. And I always tell people, live performance, whether it's music or sports or radio, can't be beat. So try to get to them, and when they come back to New York, I promise you it'll be worth your while to go and see them. We're here with Beth Accardi from the New York Football Giants. I always like saying the New York Football Giants. It seems so classic. Beth, we finished up our first segment of the show with you talking about Yankee Stadium. The Giants must have realized that you did a great job there, or they wouldn't have come calling to get you to become the director of their premium services. I would venture to say that the premium services component of an NFL football franchise is a critical component to their success.
Absolutely. Especially going from a stadium that really didn't have any premium areas.
Nothing.
To one that, you know, we have over 7,500 club seats, 200 suites.
And how many guests are in a suite on any given Sunday?
Approximately 25. I'd say.
So 25. So we're talking a couple of thousand high-end clients that you have to make happy.
Yes.
And you only get to do that once a week for about 5 months. To me, that's a pretty significant bar to achieve. And, you know, somebody once told me that running a restaurant was like war, that there were hours and hours of boredom and then seconds of terror. Is that what Sunday's like in an NFL NFL hospitality gig?
A little bit. You know, definitely a lot of pressure to pull something off that isn't just okay, but spectacular.
Right.
So we work very hard during the, you know, people always joke around and ask me, what do you do during the off season? Well, we are preparing for those 10 games, really eight regular right. season games, to knock the socks off of our people in our premium areas.
Right. And those, and one of the components that I know is, it intrigued me this year, because look, I've been to the new stadium, and I've been in the suites, and they're wonderful. An incredibly gracious group of hosts. How did I mean, that was a big difference from, I think, what people were used to going to, frankly, going to Giants Stadium or going to almost any athletic venue. Having warm, friendly hosts was a new thing. How did you create that? You know, that sense of, honestly, truthfully, the sense of hospitality. How did you do that? That doesn't just happen by accident.
We work with MetLife Stadium, who's done an incredible job of hiring a lot of those game day staff that come in. Mm-hmm. You know, through our direction, we tell them a lot about what our expectations are and the services that we want to provide to our clients, a lot of unique experiences, like our concierge service and things like that. And MetLife really helps us pull it off. So they do an incredible job, and we have a lot of people there that are happy to be there every game, excited and proud to be there and be a Giant.
That's terrific. You feel, I mean, I guess that's part of it, right? You feel like you're part of that Giants family. Speaking of which, you got a pretty big hunk of jewelry last year, didn't you?
I did.
You got a Super Bowl ring.
Yes.
Is it as big as your head?
Pretty much.
Well, that was pretty great. It's too bad we're not playing this year, but it was a pretty special year last year, and it had to be great. It had to feel great for you, from a frankly, that winning had to be part of your hospitality experience, right?
It was very special. You know, coming in to the stadium without starting a premium service department from scratch, and really developing all of the programming, added value, and the things that we did for our clients. It was really special to then, within all that hard work, come out with a nice piece of jewelry.
it was pretty spectacular. And I did think about it not only as a fan of the team, but also as a fan of the people who, you know, who really put the whole experience together. And you, and I know a couple of the other folks that you work with, you know, work really hard to make season ticket holders and suite holders, you know, feel like they were part of it all. I know some of the things you do is you create road trips for some of your premium people, don't you?
Yes,
that's got to be hard.
A little difficult sometimes to pull off.
Herding cats, would we say it like that? Right.
But you know, what's great about it is it's really a way for us to really get to know some of our bigger clients in a more intimate setting, which is really integral to our business. Our clients are. Part of my job is to retain these clients and develop long-term relationships. So being able to take them on a trip, being able to host them outside of the stadium is great for us because we're able to get to know them a little bit better.
That's I think that's a great component of what you do. And I think, again, anytime that you can learn more about your client, more about your guest, you're going to be able to be a better hospitalitarian. I think in the long run. So these are some of the fun things, but I guess I go back to the idea that said, all right, you've worked in the most demanding market in the country, and you've worked for three of the biggest sports franchises in the country, the Knicks, the Yankees, the New York Giants. How does one gauge success in your business? We understand how to gauge it, you know, when the Giants play the Eagles, right? And if the Giants come out with more points and fewer injuries and they played well, it was a great success. How do we define success on your side of the equation?
You know, from a strictly number side of it, and I probably gauge it two ways. From a strictly number side, we do some of the best business in football. We're second overall in the league when it comes to revenue each year.
And the revenue that you're talking about, Beth, is that just ticket revenue, or is that revenue of merchandise and food and all of that?
Strictly when we're talking about suites and tickets, that's where we are. But as it's across every aspect of the business, we do very well. Part of going along with a big brand like the Giants that's been successful, which has made us successful. But really, the premium side of it is a huge component to the profitability of the stadium.
Right.
The reason for the renovations and the building of all of these new buildings was because we need more luxury suites. We need more club seats. They're really bringing in large amount of revenue each year.
Yeah, there used to be a hue and cry about the idea that you're taking away seating for the common guy or the regular Joe who wants to go to a game. But that turns out not to be true at all. You just created alternative experiences for different levels of fan. You happen to work in the premium sections, but I've seen in the stadium that no matter where you go, you've got interesting food options. You've got really nice, what I would call an usher, but I guess they don't call them ushers anymore. What do they call them?
Our game day service
staff. Game day service staff, right. Back in the day, they were ushers. And, you know, they point you to the restrooms, and they, you know, they'll, if you ask them who's got the best sausage sandwich, they'll point you that direction as well. But when we talk about the revenue side of things, is there pressure on you to create additional revenue when you're in the premium services side?
I think it's partly that, and also it's the retention of these clients.
Yeah,
it's maintaining and having them not just for the first year, not just for the second year, but creating long term relationships so that they're partners really.
Yeah, that's got to be. I mean, to me, I was imagining because we're having this conversation because this is not my everyday world that you're in, but it would occur to me that success in your business is very much akin to success in the restaurant business, which is, will they come back? Right? Will they come back and will they tell their friends they had a great experience? Is that really how we do it?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's kind of simple, right?
Right.
At the end of the day.
And I think what's fun for a department like mine is being able to come up with new ideas and create added value that eventually down the line can create additional revenue streams for the organization.
Well, you came up with what I think is a great idea. And you created the Celebrity Chef program for the New York Giants home games. Talk about that. I thought that was brilliant because obviously it's a food-obsessed culture that we're in. I know very few chefs who are not into football or into the game. Food has become a huge part of football, you know, in our American culture. Were they welcome to the idea? I mean, that was a pretty bold stroke.
I think we've been extremely, extremely fortunate in working with some incredible chefs and working with chefs that are not only passionate about their restaurants and what they do, but are Giants fans. It's been fun for us to, walk in and have some of the chefs that we've had wearing their Giants gear.
Yeah, but that wasn't Mr. Mara's idea. I mean, it wasn't. You know, I mean, for 100 years, the Giants sold their tickets whether or not they won or lost and whether or not you could get a good hot dog or a hot chocolate. Here you are. You come in from a premium services background. Did you have to convince them?
Originally, I think a lot of the teams right now are doing something like a Celebrity Chef series, and it's small, and it's something that's expected almost. When I came in...
It's not small in this market.
When I came in, part of my vision was really to create this alternative brand, an extension of the Giants, so that way we were able to create this added value, create these amazing opportunities, not just in one club, but in two clubs, and maybe hopefully to expand it outside of that and to make it a little bit bigger.
Well, you've got 2 to 3 top-level James Beard Award-winning chefs at every home game, and they're providing a couple thousand dishes every home game. Frankly, I know enough about this business. That's not easy. And did you understand what you were getting into when you first started the program?
A little bit. Not after I really dived in. You know, being a as everyone else in New York, self-proclaimed foodie.
Right.
I was into it, and I understood how difficult it was to procure some of these chefs and that it wasn't going to be an easy process to get some of them to come to our games and not just lend their restaurant name, but for them themselves to come.
Yeah.
A lot of them have things that they're doing well outside of just their restaurant.
Oh, sure. I mean, but when they come to the games, I mean, they put on their chef coat and they greet guests and they serve them food and they become part of the Giants family. It's that great concept that you've developed of really creating a family atmosphere. Where do you see this going in professional sports or in high-end college sports venues? What's the next step in hospitality that you can see coming down the line?
I think that, even right now, it's almost a given. If you have a new venue, if you have a renovated building, you have to have Celebrity Chef experience or have some sort of vendors that are high-end restaurants lending their name to the venue. And I think in the future, really, it's going to become more of what I'm trying to create right now, which is this all-inclusive partnership where it's not just, you come for 10 games, you leave, you're out the door, and that's it. It's developing partnerships with these restaurants and with these chefs so that you can leverage other opportunities, business opportunities, especially like title sponsorships and being able to create events outside of your own building with these chefs and to create different community aspects. And tying it, back in so it becomes this partnership that's 365 days a year, not just 10 games.
It's, I've, because I do a lot of work in the hotel industry, I've seen this modification, and you seem to have embodied it, which is bring the neighborhood to the venue. Don't pretend that you're not part of the neighborhood. And I think from what I've seen with the New York Giants and with the New York Yankees, and with the Mets, certainly, but I mean, all of our stadiums around here, our new Brooklyn stadium, is that they're trying to bring the neighborhood to the venue. And I think that, that's something that was instinctive with you. And I think that, you know, that's what innovation is, I think. You know, it's taking that person or that group who really understands their business and having someone say, all right, I get it, but here's what I know has to change. Here's what I'm seeing with my clients that they need. And Beth, it's great to spend time with you and pick your brain about it. All right, I'm going to ask you. So when the season does end, as unfortunately it did for the Giants, a week or so ago, what is the protocol? When do you start getting down to business again, talking about, hey, here's what we're going to do next year to make it even more special?
That Monday.
All right. So what can we look for in the new season?
You know, right now we're taking a long, hard look at our past season, really recapping everything from the year and making sure that we notice what we need to do to become better. And then taking that and creating new added value opportunities, expanding something like our Giants program, creating a bigger brand out of it. And right now we're lucky enough to have a little bit of even a waiting list of some chefs, which is exciting for us, that we can start getting in touch with now to start the process.
I'm going to throw my one idea in the ring. Okay, you ready? Got to do something in those tailgating parking lots. I keep thinking that there's a wonderful opportunity
there. Food trucks.
Get them out there. There you go.
We want them. We want them.
I'm with you. Folks, this is Phil Colicchio. You've been listening to The Business of the Business on heritageradionetwork.org. When I say the New York Knickerbockers and the New York Rangers and the New York Yankees and the New York Football Giants, and I can also say the name Beth Accardi in that company, I feel pretty proud to know you. I certainly am impressed with what you've been able to accomplish over the last 5 or 6 years in this business. I'm looking forward to working with you going forward, working a little bit more with the New York Giants. I'm also looking forward to trying some of this great pizza. Are you down with that?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, pizza at Roberta's. Phil Colicchio, the business of the business. Thank you very much, Beth.
Thank you.
Go Giants.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.